I've got two lessons to go to finish my series concerning the last days, the rapture, tribulation period, mark of the beast, the coming of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, the judgment of everyone. And today we're going to talk about the resurrection of the dead. This has gone much longer than what I intended, not because I preached a lot of times, but because I didn't. We've had some times in which the Lord just came down and took over, and we had no preaching. And then we ran into the scheduling of our youth week and some other speakers that we've had. And it's just gone on longer than what I intended. However, I still feel that I need to talk about this. Today, the resurrection of the dead. Normally you hear a lot about this on Easter, around Easter time. But I really believe that Jesus Christ could come back anytime. I really believe that. And I've already explained to you that I definitely believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I just don't find enough evidence in the scripture for me to be convinced. And yet I do understand why some people interpret scripture contrary. But I don't find enough evidence for me to believe otherwise. I look at our world today and I see so many tragedies, so many crises, so many horrible things. Life is just hard, you know. It really is. Life is hard. And the hurricanes that have slammed into our Gulf states and also our Atlantic states, the earthquake in Haiti and Chile, and now we have some miners that are trapped 2.5 miles down. It may take, let's say, up to 4 or 5 weeks to get them out. Floodings in Pakistan and China. If you lived in Haiti right now, you might really feel that you were involved in the tribulation period. You might. If you were experiencing what the people of New Orleans experienced when Katrina slammed into their city, you might feel that you were going through the tribulation period. If you lived in Southern California where fire has destroyed millions of acres, because one of the prophecies concerning the tribulation period is a great fire that just engulfs the earth. You might feel that you were involved in the tribulation period. And while I do believe in contrasting conditions that will be existing at the time of the rapture of the church, I don't see during the tribulation period those great contrasting conditions. I see the wrath of God being poured out. The church, I believe, is raptured in Revelation 4. The doors open in heaven, Revelation 5. The church is in heaven, round the throne, with the Lord. We'll be talking more about that tonight. And then, of course, the seals of judgment. And then the trumpet judgments and the vials or the bowls of judgment that are poured out. And then the Antichrist making his appearance in Revelation 13, making it impossible for people to buy or sell unless they take the mark of the beast. And the Bible says that the whole world will be able to behold him. Because of the internet and television and everything, you understand why everyone, even in remote villages, will be able to see this man. The world will never be conquered by a non-religious force. Ann Gaylor and Annie Gaylor, who is the founder of Freedom from Religion Foundation, having its headquarters right here in Madison, a big article in the paper this past week about her. But if she thinks that she's going to free the world of religion, she's got another thought coming. Because the world will never be free of religion. The only way that the false prophet and the Antichrist can conquer man is through a false pretense of religion. It's the only way that man can be conquered. Because we were all made in the image and the likeness of God, and until deception comes in, we cannot be conquered by non-religious forces. I'm amazed at what Old Testament saints knew about the rapture and about the resurrection of the dead. Job is probably the first book of the Bible. Now, it's not placed where Genesis is, so we go to the book of Job. Job lived in the same time frame of Abraham. Abraham lived several hundred years before Moses wrote Genesis. Lived 400 or 500 years before Moses wrote Genesis. And the reason why that we believe that Job lived then is because of Job's age. He seemed to be a contemporary to Abraham and the patriarchs, and the way that he worshiped. Built his own altar. He was the priest of his household. He offered up sacrifices daily upon the altar. Yet when the great problems came, he said, "Those skin worms destroy my flesh." He said, "Yet in the flesh I shall see the Lord." So, he speaks of the Lord coming back with 10,000 of his angels. In Job 14, verse 12 through 15, this is what he said. "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? ? All the days of my appointed time I will wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands." Verse 16, For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? If a man dies, will he live again? Praise God. We want to talk about the resurrection of the dead. God bless you. May be seated. And I want to go to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 1 through verse 4. Daniel 12, verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." And in verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Then I go to the words of Jesus Christ in John 5. I feel a very, very special anointing in the house today. Do you? Singing these songs about the coming of the Lord and such. You know, I shall ever be thankful for my mom and dad for teaching me the right way. My mom passed away, and this past June, a year ago, she was such a great saint of God. Strict. You know, she wouldn't have. There's just certain things, you know, you just never made fun of, talked about. All of our neighbors who were elders, you never opened your mouth against any person older than yourself. Just the way she interpreted the scripture, you know. And she literally beat me a few times. See, think about drive-by shootings. My mom, you know, if she was young and able, she'd probably do drive-by whippings. Somebody asked me, did I ever get a whipping? I said, are you kidding me? But, you know, I thank the Lord real often for my dad, my mom, my grandparents, Brother W.E. Fuller, who's coming this next weekend for our 38th anniversary services. And by the way, we're not planning on having any special anything, just make mention of it. And it's, but after all, it's 38, there'll be one next year, and then on down the road, another one. But I just thank the Lord for all of these people, what they have contributed to me. I've always had a fear of God. Always. My biggest fear in life was that I would someday wake up and a rapture had taken place, or maybe I'd die and I'd be lost. Because I'd sit in Sunday school classes from, you know, the time, as far back as I can remember. Back then, Brother Putnam, preachers preached about hell a lot. Man, I could just feel the flames of hell. They had a way of putting the fear of God in you. They didn't pull any punches about it. One smart aleck little guy was listening to this preacher preach about heaven. He came up to the pastor and said, you know, when you preach about heaven, he said, I could just feel the angel's wings flapping. He said, now I got a question for you, pastor. He said, when I get up there, he said, am I going to be able to get my shirt over my wings? The pastor, without hesitation, looked at him and said, son, your problem is going to be, am I going to be able to get my cap over my horns? In John, the John, the fifth chapter, verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. When we talk about the resurrection of the dead, the New Testament does not teach a single simultaneous resurrection of all the dead. So today we want to talk more in detail about the resurrection of the dead. Now, the first resurrection, you see that mentioned in the New Testament, the first resurrection, that simply means resurrected for the primary cause of eternal life. All right? And that's basically what it's talking about. So sometimes when you read about it, it is possible that another resurrection had taken place prior to that. And this is what we want to do. Jesus was the first fruits of our resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 through verse 23. So we can go there. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And then verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we see, let's go to verse 23, I'm sorry. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. So when it talks about the first fruits, this is going back to the Old Testament, Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, verse 10, and we won't turn there, but I will just explain this. One of the feasts immediately after the planting of the crops, that's, I wouldn't say immediately after, but when the grain was placed in the ground, and then it was big enough and ready for harvest, ripe enough, they would have what they call the feast of the offering of sheaves, the waving of the sheaves, maybe I should say, instead of feast. So what they'd do, they'd go out and they would take one plant, and they would take it and they would wave it above the offering and wave it into the sky. Can you see all of Israel doing this? Everybody that had a crop, what they were doing, they were thanking the Lord for this offering. And when it says that this is the first fruits of their harvest, the first fruits of their harvest, they would give back to God, or they'd wave it to the Lord in thanksgiving. So you put one grain in the soil, only one in the soil, and then that grain produces many more, produces a head or several heads having grain on them. So what the Bible is saying, that Jesus Christ is the first fruits. He, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and dieth, it abideth alone. He was placed in the ground. And when he came forth out of the graves, the Bible tells us, out of the grave, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27, verse 52 and verse 53, that many of the Old Testament saints came out of their graves. They walked the streets of Jerusalem, ministered to the people. Now, this happened after Jesus Christ died. So Jesus Christ was the first fruits. He arose, but he being one, he brought many to life. And this is saying that this is the way it is with the church today. You know, God has a church buried already beneath the sod of this green earth, waiting for the time of resurrection. And, you know, it's death is so mysterious, and when we talk about the resurrection, you think it's a long ways off. Maybe not. If the rapture took place today, remember that the resurrection of the dead is going to take place prior to the rapture of the church, almost at the same time, but the first trumpet's going to be to raise the dead. And the last trumpet's going to be to take us in up into heaven with them. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we went over this a couple of weeks ago, and then 1 Corinthians 15. So many of the Old Testament saints, now it doesn't say what happened to them. We just assume that they were caught up with the Lord. There's no record of them being there afterwards. They just came forth from the grave and they were caught up to be with the Lord. So this happened at the rapture of the church. Now, in Revelation 20, verse 4, and I'd like for you to turn there with me, in Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and that which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, are in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So, the first resurrection is just simply meaning resurrected for the primary cause of eternal life. So Jesus Christ was the first fruits, and then Old Testament saints came forth, walked the streets of Jerusalem. Then when the rapture takes place, the dead in Christ, the New Testament church, will go up to meet the Lord in the air along with those that are alive. We will be changed, and we will become just like them. So we'll be called up to meet the Lord in the air. Then the tribulation period starts. Revelation 4 and 5, the church is in heaven. The judgments are loosed upon the planet Earth. So here we have people that are trying their best to live for God. That didn't make it in the rapture. Now let me say this. I'm not for sure who those people are. I do believe that the Holy Ghost dispensation ends at the rapture of the church. For the Bible tells us, Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica that the wicked one cannot be revealed until he, that is the body of Christ, the Holy Ghost, is taken up out of the way. He is a hinder to lawlessness. So here we have people, though, that will not take the mark, people that will confess Christ, people that will die for his name. And you may say, if I don't make it in a rapture, then do I have a chance to be saved? Well, I don't. Let me say this. If you have a struggle living for God now, and you won't, trust me, you're really, really, really going to have a struggle when the Holy Ghost is taken out of the way. As much as God helps you and assists you, if you don't make it in a rapture, if I were you, I wouldn't count on not taking the mark of the beast. I just wouldn't count on it. Because let me tell you, you think you know what peer pressure is now? Wait until you can't buy anything or sell anything. You know. And truth of the matter is, you can't go around begging like people do today. Because everybody's going to be in the same dilemma. Everybody's got the same set of circumstances. Some people will be able to purchase because they've taken the mark. So here we find that people die. And what happens is that they are resurrected and they reign with Christ for 1,000 years. See? So the Bible also gives a promise of the New Testament bride of Christ, that we shall reign with the Lord on the earth. So Christ sets up, after the tribulation period, after the battle of Armageddon, Christ sets up an earthly reign on the earth. And he reigns here for 1,000 years. So we have the resurrection at this point, the first resurrection, Christ, Old Testament saints, the church, and those who died in the tribulation period for the namesake of Jesus. Now, let's read on. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So the rest of the dead, that simply means that during this period of time of the 1,000 years, that even though people live long lives, there will be remnant of people that will die, and after the 1,000 years, there will be the final calling of the saints of the Lord for the first resurrection. This is the first resurrection. Now, the reason why that we know that the word first resurrection is simply means for the primary cause of eternal life is because we know that some lived and reigned with the Lord that had died during the 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead, that simply means that this is a remnant of people, and it's still called the first resurrection. So there are two resurrections, the first resurrection and then the second resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, for they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So some reign with him 1,000 years, and then there is a resurrection. There's a resurrection before the 1,000 years, in which the people who were beheaded during the tribulation period. So we have at least four, possibly five resurrections. So let's go back over that. Jesus Christ, the first fruits, Old Testament saints, the body of Christ, those who were beheaded during the tribulation period, and then those who died during the 1,000 years. Now, so everyone who lived for God, whatever dispensation was in, complying to the plan of salvation for that dispensation, is going to be saved. Now, they have to comply to whatever the plan of salvation is for that dispensation. Right now, the plan of salvation for our dispensation is that you must be born again. You repent of your sins, you're baptized in Jesus' name, and you're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, if this is not true, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this is called the first resurrection. This completes the first resurrection. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death comes the judgment. Now, the thing about man is totally different from the beast of the field. Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 20 and 21, the Bible tells us all go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to the dust. Now, he's talking about the beast. He's talking about mankind. We all go to one place. That is our bodies he's talking about. Now, verse 21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? So when a beast dies, you know, we talk about, well, my puppy dog died, my dog going to be in heaven with me. And I've had a lot of people come and say, I want you to pray over my dog, you know, and I want to see my dog someday. And, well, you know, I don't want to burst your bubble, but you may not see your dog again, okay? So that may be the end of it. But you see, when God made man, he made man in his own likeness and in his own image. For he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That simply means God took a portion of himself and placed into mankind. And this is the reason why that man has a relationship that he has. He's to rule over all of the other animals of the earth. God gave him dominion over the earth. So he made him totally different. Made him conscious of God. God speaks to him. The Bible says that the grace of God that worketh salvation hath appeared unto all men. That simply means that God's Holy Spirit talks to mankind. Even before you're born, the Holy Spirit talks to you. We've gone over many of those things with you in recent messages. Talks to you throughout your life. God is according to Acts 17, God is the God of all people. Makes no difference whether they're Christian or not. He's still the God of them. They may not recognize who he is, but he's the God of the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Hindus. He's the God of the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Pentecostals. He's the God of all of us, every last one of us. And his voice speaks inwardly to us. Now, we're not always aware that that's the voice of God that's speaking to us. This is the reason why that we have such an awesome responsibility, that is, the keepers of the truth, that know the true plan of salvation, that we can bring eternal life, or the message of eternal life, maybe I should say, to people, that we can talk to them. And when people come into a church that preaches full truth and worships in the beauty of holiness like we are worshiping in it today, it's like, you know, it's like deja vu. In other words, I've been hearing this all my life. It's a return of something that I hear. Why? Because I hear that inward voice of God. Now, the body is going back to the dust. Returns to the dust. That's what the Bible says. The spirit goes up to God. Now, the important thing to remember is because we came out of God, we became a heart-beating, living, pulsating soul. And I'm not talking about this heart. I'm not talking about blood when I'm talking about pulsation. I'm talking about this element of God. It's like God took a part of himself and put in us. Now, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. The tragedy of hell is this, that when the resurrection takes place, that simply means that God will bring the body back together. And God knows how to do that. He knows where to find all the parts. He knows how to put it all back together. And the spirit of man then, and his soul will come back into the body, and he will come up. God will change that body from a corruptible body to an incorruptible body. Now, we will then go up into the presence of God. And I'm going to talk about judgment tonight, so we're going to talk about where does a man go when he dies? If he's saved, where does he go? If he's lost, where does he go? Where will I be judged? How will I be judged? Why will I be judged? But those that do not die in Christ Jesus, they will be resurrected after the 1,000 years of peace, after the battle of Gog and Magog, and they will come before the white throne judgment. I said they will come before the white throne judgment. Now, if you die without God, that simply means that you will be pronounced. You will be judged to spend eternity in hell. Hell wasn't prepared for people. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But because that you love sin, because you embrace sin, because you like sin, because you will not depend on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse you from sin, because you won't repent, and you hold on to your sin, God is saying that if you want to spend eternity in hell, that's a choice that you make. It seems very unfair it seems unfair to man that he has to spend eternity in hell, but that's a choice that you make. Now, if you were just cast into hell and that you burned up and that was the end of it, maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal. But the thing about it is, the second death, the Bible speaks of the second death, and we'll go into those scriptures tonight, but the second death is the death of both, I said both, of all body, soul, and spirit. The total man. And yet, because he came out of God and he was created in the image and likeness of God, that spirit that's in God is eternal. And you received your identity from God. That simply means then you will burn forever. It's impossible for you to be annihilated because you came out of God. The angels came out of God. This is the reason why that Satan, the smoke of their torment, shall ascend forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You may say, oh my, this is so bad. It's so horrible. Let me tell you how bad it is. None of us like to think of anyone going to hell, do we? No. So we can have a relative that dies, can just be a rascal. Never go to church. Never do anything. And yet when that person dies, we say, oh, I know I'm going to meet them someday. They're going to be in heaven. And we like to think that because we don't like to think of that person dying lost. We just shut it out. And I hear other people say, but Pastor, you know, if my grandmother didn't make it to heaven and I'm in heaven, how in the world could I be happy knowing that my grandmother didn't make it in heaven, to heaven? I like to ask them this question, are you sure she made it to heaven? You know what most people will say? Well, I think so, but I'm not really for sure. I said, well, you're living with that right now. Doesn't seem to be bothering you. Why do you think it's going to bother you when you receive a glorified body? But when we ask the Lord to forgive us and our sins are cast in the sea of forgetfulness, I think the sea of forgetfulness is in hell. Some men's sins go before to be judged. Others come after them. And when we repent of our sins today, what happens? Our sins are cast into hell. It's a sea of forgetfulness. And while sin is of the spirit world, cannot be destroyed, and the soul is of the spirit world, cannot be destroyed, the answer was for God to confine them to a general location, and that's called the lake of fire. Inasmuch that it's a sea of forgetfulness, if God has the ability to forget our sin and cast it there, and we are made in his likeness when he comes back, don't you think that that will be a sea of forgetfulness for us then also? That we can live in his presence and we won't be thinking about anybody other than the presence of the Lord. The resurrection of the body, 1 Corinthians 15:35. This question is asked. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Well, that's a legitimate question. The resurrection of the body is an important and essential doctrine that's taught in the scriptures. It refers to Christ's raising of the body from the dead and reuniting it with the person's soul and spirit from which it has been separated by death. Now, the Bible reveals several reasons why that we are resurrected. But one is that we will be like him, so that we become like him. The other is so that our relationship with him, because we're like him, will be made perfect. When God made man in the Garden of Eden, before he sinned, he had a perfect relationship with him. Talk with him in the cool of the day. I'm not for surely sure. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord walked in the cool of the day. Talk with him. I think man has longed for that time of innocency when he can walk in the presence of God. You ever get tired of this world and of all the things? Well, some of you young people, wait till you get a little bit older and you get pain. Go to the doctor, you know, and what's wrong with you? Well, where do I start? You know, got so many parts that don't work. When I went to renew my driver's license, they wanted to know if I wanted to become a donor. And I said, an organ donor. I said, listen, I got so many parts that don't work right now. You wouldn't want to take one thing out of this body and put it in somebody else's body. And by the way, I'm not against donating organs. But some days, I got to tell you, I wake up in pain. I have problems straightening up. I walk in pain. I went home yesterday after studying all afternoon in my office, put an ice pack on my foot, elevated my foot, got up this morning, still in pain. I look forward to the day in which I'll be in the presence of God. He's going to change this body. I'm going to take away all the pain. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So all faithful followers of the Lord, whether it be by rapture or by the resurrection, will be in the presence of God. We will be in the holy city in which no sin will enter in. We'll be there forever in the presence of God. The curtain's pretty much pulled. I don't know what. I know we're going to be worshiping God, but I think that probably the scope of our activities is much larger than just that. It's not that I am not favorable toward worshiping God and that alone, but it seems like that when eternity comes and the curtain is pulled, that we know very little about what's going to happen. But we do know this, there'll be no sin, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no pain, there'll be no tears. For God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And I know that there are people that sit under the sound of my voice that you've gone through some pretty, pretty tough things. Some of you, the loss of parents. Some of you, the divorce court ended your marriage. Some of you have lost children. And some of you have gone through cancer. You know, I'd like to see God just heal everybody. Brother Larry Smith, who had to leave, but Brother Larry got up and left a few minutes ago. Last November, he had this cancer. It was real small, about the size of a pea, just a small green spring pea. And it went back a month later and was the size of a golf ball and growing very rapidly. While he was getting ready to take treatment and everything, just recently, he went in now, I think it's 3 weeks ago, on a Friday. They wanted to take a CT scan, couldn't find one, not one speck of cancer. Not one. They told him, said, we want to do this again to make sure that we didn't make a mistake. Went and took it again and couldn't find it. He said, well, there's nothing to treat. We don't know what to do. We'd like to say that that happens to everyone. But some of you have had loved ones to go to the grave believing, trusting in God that had a body full of cancer and took them. Some other things. Some of you that sit under the sound of my voice now, you have gone through very severe cancer surgeries. I myself have had 3 cancer surgeries. Sister Grant has this enlarged aorta, which the doctors say that it is normalized, shouldn't affect her, and outside of that, she's in good health. Don't be straining. Don't let your blood pressure get high. So the aorta should be about 2 centimeters, which is about the diameter of this mic here, coming out of the top of her heart. And hers is 4.25, which is larger than this glass. I'm just, you know, the soul that sinneth shall surely die when God pronounced death upon the human race. You know, I'm not going to be able to cover all of my materials today. Let me say this, that the soul that sinneth shall surely die, but he made an exception to the original law of sin. And that is, except you repent, except you be born of water and of spirit. That's the reason why that Peter on the day of Pentecost preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it goes like this. You will die, that is, if the rapture doesn't take place. You will die, but if you're born twice, that's once of your mother and once of the Spirit, you only die that one time. But if you're born only one time, that's of your mother, you will die twice. Once, the body. Secondly, the body, the soul, and the spirit in hell. Jesus said, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Well, we're going to have to bring this to a halt, so would you stand, please? Revelation 21, verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. So you're born twice. How many times do you die? Once. If you're born once, how many times do you die? Twice. So today, I present to you the challenge. If you want to be saved and you've never been born again, you need to step out from where you are and come and give your heart to God. So if you'll come and stand over here on the right side of the pulpit, if you feel that for some reason maybe you're just not where you need to be in the Lord, why don't you come up here and stand also? Renew your experience in the Lord. If you're sick in body and you need prayer, we anoint with oil. Come over here and stand on the left side. Would you do that? And if you have run against some problem, some crises that's really bothering you and holding you back spiritually, why don't you come and just stand right here in front of the pulpit? Now, we have Christian workers who'd be glad to counsel with you, ministers that'll lay hands on you and pray for you. So as our praise singers sing, why don't you step out and come on down. Come on down.